Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Uma Thurman is the star, kidnapping the focus of suspicion. Now in its third week on Apple TV Plus. Executive producer and showrunner Rob Williams joins me next in the Internet Radio exclusive live from London. For this Black History Month, Crackle has come up with Inside the Black Box, an exploration of entertainment culture that's highly unusual and highly illuminating. In our next half hour, you'll be connected with executive producers Rachel Weintraub and David Colin, and co-host Tracy Moore and Emmy Award-winning actor Joe Morton. Also ahead, Transplant to the Third Power, our new classic trivia winner, an expanded takeaway of the week segment, and John Williams fans for television music, rejoice. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Verbal, and Reason. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com and decide to go ahead with subscription. Your first 3 months are free. 42 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. We welcome you on this Friday afternoon before President's Day weekend to the program all about TV's current and future. Got a great lineup of people for you to have and to hear from over the next 90 minutes or so, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's better when you interact. So give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You'll catch us country around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Chat room open for business, too. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. The name of the chat room, Simon Apple 04. So use the room or use the phone. Either way, you interact with us and our guests. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk speaker to screen. Follow the instructions. Other people will be live with you. Rob Williams from Suspicion, live with us from London after these news notes. Transplant, the unusual medical drama from Canada that landed successfully on NBC in the fall of 2020, will head into a third season. As before, viewers up north will get those episodes before NBC does. Season 2 gets its NBC run going March 6th. Creator Joseph Kay, who was on this program around the NBC primetime premiere, continues as executive producer and main writer. Now quickies, Discovery Plus offers new adventures of Ghost Adventures to be on Travel Channel starting March 10th. The popular A Little Spark children's book series will be adapted as an animated television series. And Martin Lawrence and other cast members of former Fox sitcom hit Martin will participate in the 30th anniversary reunion event this summer. BET Plus will present the Martin undertaking later this year. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from across the pond in London, where it is prime time as we speak, is the executive producer and showrunner of the new Apple TV Plus series, Suspicion, Rob Williams. Rob, thank you again for joining us.
Hi there, Simon. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So 3 weeks in, what kind of feedback are you getting from audiences around the world about your series?
Well, very, very positive. It's quite something to be to go global, you know. Sort of from the first episodes, as you know, dropped at the same time, and then every Friday a new one's dropping on the platform, and it's sort of dropping to everybody, really. So it's fabulous to get feedback from so many different places, pretty much simultaneously. Obviously, bearing the time difference in mind, it's been fabulous. Really good feedback, actually. I think a lot of people are very intrigued by where it's heading. Not always sure where it's heading, but eager to find out, which is, you know, sort of the idea, right?
Mm-hmm. Kidnapping is a very sensitive topic for a lot of people, especially people who have been privy to the situation, whether the person being kidnapped is their parents or a daughter or a son and so forth. Have you heard from anybody who has been in that situation, and what have they told you about how you dramatized the incident you have?
No, I haven't heard from anybody, actually. What I will say on that is, obviously, this was a show that was inspired by an award-winning Israeli series called False Flag of a few years ago. And I think what we definitely felt at the beginning, we had to start again, essentially. You know, we took a really fabulous concept and then talked a lot about what we wanted to do with it. But I think one of the things we really felt was what we didn't want to do was to take kidnap lightly. You know, that's that's really where the Uma Thurman character came from, and where her conflicts and lots of the tension comes from is the what would you do of it all? And I think we certainly don't ever take it lightly, I hope.
Mm-hmm. Keshet, which is an Israeli production company that put together False Flag. They also put together Prisoners of War, which became the long-running U.S. hit Homeland. They seem to have this knack for coming up with very unusual subject matter for dramatic series. Why do you think they're so successful? Mm-hmm. What made Flash, this series, False Flag, an interesting project to adapt for English language television?
I think you're absolutely right, Simon. I think they do have a knack. I think there is something about Israeli culture and people with PhDs should be looking at it rather than myself. I think I've come to the conclusion that there's something about the way the domestic lives in such close proximity to very, very high stakes for a lot of people there on a daily basis. I think that does do something in terms of the drama that comes out of Israel. I'm a huge admirer of it, and I think it is unique. Actually, it's interesting when we sat down. I love False Flag; it's a fantastic show. But when you sit down and try to break it restage it in, you know, the UK and in the United States, it's very, very difficult. I mean, were you, not that we ever did, but were you to try to do a like-for-like restaging of it, different rules apply in just about every respect, I think. And I think that's the particular nature of living in that part of the world that does make for such high stakes, thrilling drama that, as I say, is domestic at the same time as being somehow global as well.
Mm. Kidnappings on an international scale have been the subject of a lot of unique films and television series. Many people, of course, remember The Man Who Knew Too Much, the great Alfred Hitchcock film, and both the original with Peter Lorre and the remake with James Stewart and Doris Day, and the case of Ross Song, who won the Oscar. Or, for example, NBC one year did a series called Kidnapping, which was shot here in New York. Jeremy Piven, by the way, who was later on Law and Order, now he's on FBI, another Dick Wolf show, now on CBS, was the star of that series. What makes Suspicion as a kidnapping tale stand out from other efforts to dramatize the same kind of genre?
I hope it's And again, you just named some fabulous examples of it. So, you know, other people can answer whether it stands up with those or not. But I think for me, the thing that makes it unique and that made it unique when I watched False Flag, actually, was the fact that we are taking four very ordinary people and asking, how are they involved in this? Are they involved in this? Are they connected in any way? Why on earth would they be connected to the kidnap of a young man in New York City? I think, you know, it's really, for me, it's about that. It's about how when you dig into anybody's life, whether that's somebody who's been kidnapped or somebody who's accused of kidnap, nobody's life is as simple as it first appears. And I think, particularly now in the world, in the culture we live in now, we all show the world a face via our social media, via email. I mean, just there is so much of us out there now in the digital world, and of course with surveillance culture as well. It's really about who doesn't look suspicious? Who is above suspicion anymore? And I think, you know, the fact that it is, as you say, there's a kidnap at the heart of it. I would say that it's, and I would say that that's absolutely what drives us through and wanting to find this young guy safe and well. I think it's probably just the ordinariness of the characters who are being accused of the crime is the thing that makes it stand out.
Mm-hmm. For all you TV trivia fans out there, Suspicion is not the first television series in the United States that has that title. Back in the late 1950s, NBC did an anthology drama series of the same name that was put together in part by Alfred Hitchcock's production company at the time, Shamley, which did the popular long-running series Alfred Hitchcock Presents, later the Alfred Hitchcock Hour. In fact, one of the episodes, which you can see on YouTube, was directed by the master of suspense himself with E.G. Marshall in an important role. The show, by the way, did both live and taped episodes and ran for a single season. But we've got the current Suspicion involved this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. That Suspicion is now in its third week playing on Apple TV Plus on smart TV sets and devices everywhere. And we've got the executive producer and showrunner, Rob Williams. He joins us live from across the pond in London here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And we're happy you're along for the ride. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 42 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment for Rob? Make a call. Be part of the program, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have a nice triple header of shows coming your way next week. Because of President's Day here in the U.S., we will be on not Monday, but Tuesday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at this very hour. And coming up on Tuesday, our lead guest will be from the latest effort at Telehealth on Television. It's called Maya MD. It's starting up on smart TV sets from LG. You will meet the two co-founders of the service, Christian Haberman and Dr. Vinipas Chengat. They'll both be with us as our lead guest Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Rob, before you did this, you were involved in an excellent series for Amazon called The Man in the High Castle. It was one of the most acclaimed shows. It dealt with a dystopian view of Earth. You know, what if the Nazis had won World War II, et cetera, et cetera. I'm wondering if your experience with that series helped you do Suspicion.
I think every job you do helps you with the next job. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's don't do this. Sometimes it's, you know, take a bit of this and a bit of that. So yeah, it definitely did. I think there's a heightened nature to both shows, which is, I hope, a strength. And as you say, you know, it was essentially dystopian thing of science fiction based on the Philip K. Dick novel, Man in the High Castle, that we took and ran with, really. And I think, I suppose the thing that Suspicion's got most in common with that is that, you know, we took False Flag and we ran with that. And I think in both cases, actually, what's important is to both honor the original, but also make sure that it's its own thing. I think at some point characters have to start speaking for themselves and standing on their own two feet and running one way because that's what they would do rather than that's what happens in the source material. And I definitely felt with Suspicion that lessons I'd learned in that regard on Man in High Castle were lessons well learned, actually. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What was it like working with Uma Thurman? What kind of guidance did you and the other producers and the directors give her in terms of how to shape her character, how to pace her character, you know, not just throughout the opening episode where you set up the premise, but also in the remaining episodes?
Well, you know, the first thing I would say is just the professionalism of Uma was astounding. And not that I expected her not to be professional, but obviously you don't know until you meet and work with somebody, but particularly, you know, an actor of that stature. We talked at length about who Catherine Newman is, why she is who she is. So the classic sort of iceberg analogy of, you know, the vast majority of everything that we talked about and that Uma thought about and prepared for will never appear on screen, but it was absolutely vital that she did that work. In, you know, and again, I think it's testament to her and her professionalism and just the way she, you know, the way she immerses herself in every project that she does, really, was quite, you know, astounding, really, and kind of humbling in a way. You know, you expect her to be good on screen, and I think she is. She's fantastic, and as the show goes on, I hope people will go on that journey with us and with her, because where she ends up is quite extraordinary, I think. And but as I say, as somebody of that stature, you sort of, you know, you hope that's what you're going to get. But I think what you don't always what you've got no right to expect is just that level of intellectual sort of engagement with the show. When I first met her in London, a while before when we were talking to her about the show, the range of topics we talked about and the themes of the show, and where it's going and why it's going there was really exhilarating, actually. It was really exhilarating because she wanted to understand. She just wanted to really understand all of it. You know, what's it for? As well as thrilling people, hopefully, doing well as a show. What are we doing it for? What's it about? I think, and always when I feel when people ask me that question, I think, you know, you're in a good place. So yeah, in short, Simon, she was absolutely wonderful. It was great to work with her.
Did anyone ask Uma if there wasn't anything personal in her life that she could relate the character to find someone she knew or someone she could find before filming started that she could use as a life point, as a point to have this clandestine, to shape this clandestine character?
I know that she did. I mean, I think we certainly we talked a lot about that. We talked about particularly very successful women, women who have come up and got to very prominent positions. What is the cost of that? We talked a lot about that, and we talked about examples of that. We also, you know, Uma's a mother as well, and so I know that she called on a lot of, you know, a lot of that experience to sort of put herself in those shoes. And I think, as Catherine said in one of the early episodes, you know, it's she's not necessarily seen as a mother first and foremost. She's seen as a CEO. And she's seen in a certain way. Well, that's not the whole story. Of course it's not. And I think she worked really hard. I think, you know, that character really, when you look at it as a one-line picture or as a pen picture, we all think we know who it is. And it's very easy to make that quite two-dimensional. And I think she was very, very conscious that she didn't want to do that. And obviously, you know, I didn't want her to do that either. But the diligence that she put into interrogating and talking to women who have had those kind of journeys, that she definitely put that work in and took that very seriously.
Mm-hmm. You're hearing Rob Williams. He is the executive producer and showrunner of Suspicion, which is now in its third week of play on Apple TV Plus, available on smart TV sets and devices all over the map. Rob joins us live from London this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised on this Friday before President's Day weekend here in the United States. And we're at 42 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. Happy you're with us along for the ride. Tom and Avon with you. You have a question or comment remaining this with Rob. Make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Paramount Plus has a brand new made-for-TV movie premiering next week. It's called 3 Months, and it premieres on Wednesday. And on Wednesday, we'll have a same-day interview on Tomorrow Be Televised, special edition, with its executive producer, writer, and director, Jared Frieder. And 1 week from today on the program, Brain Games, the long-running Nat Geographic series, is back with a new set of on-the-road episodes. You'll hear from executive producer James Rowley in another Internet Radio exclusive same day as well. That's all coming up next Wednesday and Friday, same time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Be Televised. You also, Rob, surround yourself with a number of people from one of my favorite series of recent years, The Americans, on FX. Chris Long, who did great work directing that show. He's also an executive producer with you. And you also have one of the stars of the show, Noah Emmerich, plays a key role. What was it like to work with Chris and also have one of his stars from that series being part of your cast?
Yeah, it's fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. It was a gift, really, as much as when we talked about the show tonally, you know, The Americans was, I'm a huge fan of the show too, like you. It's, and again, actually, really interestingly, when we talk about that Israeli brand, if you want, of drama, of thriller, where the domestic sits very, very closely with something much bigger and more high specs. I think, you know, The Americans did that beautifully and over a number of seasons. So, yeah, having Chris on board was just fantastic, and having his eye not just on the episodes that he himself directed, but also, you know, the episodes that he's a collaborator with Stephen Schwartz, the other director, fabulous director who worked on the show. So having both of those guys across it was fabulous. And Noah, we talked about quite early on, actually, in terms of there was almost just nobody else to play Scott, because it was so, and I ended up sort of writing for him in a way, even before he'd agreed to do it, or I think even before we talked to him about doing it. He's obviously worked very closely with Chris and their friends, and Chris thought he would like the part, but we didn't take that for granted, obviously. But I was definitely writing for Noah before he actually said he'd want to be in the show, and I just think I'm a huge fan of his, not just for the Americans, but for in his other work as well. And I think it's helpful. I think it's helpful for the audience to also, because it can work against you as well, that, you know, obviously. I mean, it's its own thing, but I think it definitely helps that it sets up an expectation in terms of the audience of where we're placing this tonally, I think. And Noah just does a great job throughout the show. He was again, not only fabulous on screen but off screen, just an absolutely fantastic human being to have around.
Mm-hmm. What was the biggest challenge for you and your cast and crew in doing this series?
Well, it's a predictable answer, probably, Simon, but the truth is, it was COVID. It was we started filming in February of 2020, and by the end of March we had to shut down in the same way as pretty much everything, I think. I don't think anything stayed up and running at that point. It was just a very, very difficult environment to try and make a show in, and we were obviously operating in two countries. Because the show is set partly in London and then in New York. The sort of second half of the series takes place a lot in New York. And so that already had its challenges, you know, it had its production challenges. But throw in a global pandemic, and, quite honestly, I think no one saw that coming. And again, I do feel... I can't take any credit for it. We had the most fantastic team working on that side of things, and we learned very quickly. And when we got back up and running again, I mean, it was a completely alien environment. I remember going on set that first day back with people wearing visors and masks and different coloured zones, and just the most extraordinary lengths everybody went to try and protect both themselves and other people, but also the show. You know, it was quite a humbling thing in a way. And really, we managed to get through it I think we lost a matter of hours in terms of across the whole run of the thing, rather than days or weeks. And that really does, you know, speak absolute volumes for the people who were the cast and crew on this, because they were doing that every single day, you know, going to those lengths to stay infection free. It was quite something.
Well, now that suspicion is out, and also that it looks like in your country the coronavirus pandemic is over, Boris Johnson recently saying that's it, no more mandates, we're gone, that's it, we're going next normal. What's next for you in terms of television or film work?
Well, firstly, I tend not to listen to Boris Johnson about anything, but let's hope you're right. There's lots going on for me. I'm working on a show, a pilot that I'm hoping that Hulu are going to make at some point. I've just done a show for Channel 4 here in England called Screw, which is where I had Screw and Suspicion on simultaneously, actually, which was a first for me. And quite something. I'm also potentially going to do some more of that, and always developing, Simon. You know, I guess a lot of your guests say the same thing, but you know, you have to have you have to have lots of balls in the air, and that's what I'm up to at the moment.
Mm-hmm. The program is Suspicion. Uma Thurman is the star kidnapping the subject on both sides of the Atlantic Ocean, and you can see it now on Apple TV Plus, available through most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. For more details about the program online, go to tv.apple.com. That's tv.apple.com. Suspicion, starring Uma Thurman, great ensemble cast too, now in its third week on Apple TV Plus. Rob Williams, the executive producer and showrunner of the program, thank you again for joining us, primetime your time in London. Congratulations on how the show is going so far. Love to have you back to talk further stuff from you. And in the meantime, have a fantastic weekend. And again, let's hope that the coronavirus pandemic is gone for good in your country, and soon our country too.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Simon. Thanks for having me. All the very best.
You too, Rob. Cheers. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Rob Williams from Suspicion, joining us live from London. More tomorrow will be televised coming away, but first some words from the fine folks with our sponsor, Audible.com. Have you ever thought, I'd like to have a manual for how I live? Is there ways that I can transform the quality of my life, how I deal with things, how I don't deal with things? Well, there's a new book out by Brené Brown called Atlas of the Heart, and it actually showcases various principles that you can use, that anyone can use, to transform the quality and the direction of their life. It's called Atlas of the Heart. You can get it right now if you have a trial run, or you can go right into a subscription with Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 250,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and our various podcast destinations. If you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook. You get a one-month trial of that book. You get great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Plus, you get health and wellness information while the supply lasts. If you're an Amazon Prime customer already, guess what? You get two audiobooks for your trial of one. And if you like to just subscribe, you get your first 3 months free. That's gratis. First 3 months free for a limited time only if you subscribe. And if you do take that one-month trial, again, if you're a Prime member, you get two audiobooks for your trial of one. One of them can be from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions, podcast series, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, regional theater, and boys, Broadway roaring back now. Happy to hear in the Big Apple and also the theaters around the country. And also, you can get great one-woman and one-man performances, regional theater, too. So for all the details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. And once again, if you decide to go for it, remember, your first 3 months for limited time are free. This is Tomorrow Be Televised. We are the program all about the two. Happy you are with us on this day before President's Day weekend 2022. Simon Alba, I'm with you live from New York. If a question or comment for our guest ahead, make a call now, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And remember, next week, triple header of shows. We're not on Monday because of President's Day. Want to make sure you have a great extended weekend. And remember, we're going to be on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Tuesday, our lead guest, Christian Haberman and Dr. Bedinga Stengat, from the new telehealth on TV service, MayaMD, now on LG Smart TV sets. They're the co-founders. On Wednesday, Jared Frieder will be our lead guest. He's the executive producer, writer, and director of the new Paramount Plus movie that premieres next week, 3 months. And then a week from today, James Rowley, executive producer of the new Brain Games series, Brain Games on the Road, which will premiere next Friday on National Geographic in prime time. When we come back, we will have the quartet of people making Inside the Black Box one of the most unique Black History Month series you will find on TV this Black History Month. We will have the executive producers, Rachel Weintraub and David Cohen, and then we'll have the co-host, the celebrated acting coach, Tracy Moore, and Emmy and NAACP award winner now in the new Fox series, Our Kind of People, Joe Morton. They will join us all in the next half hour. Plus, we will have our brand new classic trivia winner, and then later on, an expanded takeaway of the week segment. And if you're a John Williams TV fan, have I got news for you. We'll get to all of that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Listen to Best Internet Radio in the Galaxy, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com. Together, reaching nearly 70 million people around the world every month and growing. Tonight at 10 p.m., it's Friday Night Possum. It's entertainment on a very unusual scale. Check out Friday Night Possum tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, Best VTR 24/7, all weekend long at youtube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of this 90-day edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Alba, I'm with you along for the ride this Friday before President's Day weekend 2022. Happy to have you aboard. Great guest coming away this half hour. Also, our classic trivia winner, second in 3 weeks. We'll tell you who that is and the winning answer. So stay tuned. If you have a question or comment for our guest, don't be shy. Make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Yesterday, Crackle, the mega content service owned by Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment, premiered what may be one of the most unique Black History Month series to debut this Black History Month. It's called Inside the Black Box. And today we have a very unusual segment about this program for you. We're going to have people both on and off camera joining us. We will have the executive producers, who also created the series, and we have the two co-hosts as well. So let's get started. Actually, I'll tell you what. For some reason, we are having a little issue. Let's see if we can get them on. I hope so. Let's see if we can have them on. Let's start with the executive producers. Joining us live, first of all, the executive producers of the series, Rachel Weintraub and David Colin. Rachel and David, welcome in. All right. I think we're having an issue. Rachel, David, everybody, I think you're going to have to call back. So I'm going to take you off the line. Call back in as soon as you call back at our 646-652-2906 number. We'll get you back on the board, and we'll get you on the track. So in the meantime, while we wait for them to call back and get them all set up, I want to again remind you that we have a triple header of shows coming your way this on next week's program. That's going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, all at this very hour, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Again, joining us on Tuesday, in case you don't know, is our lead guest, one of the co-founders of the brand-new Telehealth on TV service. Telehealth on Television is becoming a major story this year. We will have from MyMD, which is running on LG Smart TV sets, along with another service called Independa, which we showcased on this program last month, Christian Haberman and Dr. Virginia Chengat. They will both be with us. Then our lead guest on Wednesday's episode will be from the new Paramount Plus made-for-TV movie 3 Months, executive producer, writer, and director Jared Frieder. And finally, from the new National Geographic Channel series Brain Games on the Road, it's the return of their award-winning series, which we've featured on this program before. We'll have executive producer James Rowley. That is all coming up, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So once again, we're waiting for our quartet from Inside the Black Box to rejoin us. We had a little bit of a technical glitch, but as soon as they give us the call at 646-652-2906, and I see them on our computer screen, we will put them on the air. In the meantime, while we wait for them, let's go ahead and do our classic trivia segment. And I'm happy to tell you that for the second time in 3 weeks, we have a winner. And that winner is Eric Jordan of New York City, Brooklyn to be specific. So, Eric, congratulations. You are winning the Concert for New Orleans DVD. And here is the winning answer. The question first, name the theme song of the long-running ABC sitcom Family Matters. And the answer is As Days Go By, which was co-written and performed by Jesse Frederick. By the way, it was not the original theme song that was used, the original, for at least the first few episodes of the first season, the classic What a Wonderful World. I believe it was by Louis Armstrong's version. So anyway, As Days Go By by Jesse Frederick, that was the theme song for ABC's long-running sitcom, Family Matters. Eric Jordan of New York, New York, you won the Concert for New Orleans DVD. It's on the way to you right now. So congratulations and thank you for playing. That's our second winner in 3 weeks. Both of our winners, by the way, our first two wins of the year, they both came from Nueva York. We'll have a new classic trivia question for you on our next show Tuesday. When we post the question, if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win. Prize we'll tell you about on Tuesday's program. If we don't get a winner by the end of Tuesday, we'll post the question first thing Wednesday morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. Now joining us live, the executive producers of Inside the Black Box on Crackle, Rachel Weintraub and David Colin. Rachel and David, welcome in.
Hey, and this is actually going to be David Oser, not David Colin. I'm going to bring them all in now. Thanks so much.
You're very, very welcome. That's our representative from Crackle. What's his last name again? It's not Colin, it's what? Kohler?
Oser, O-Z-E-R.
Ozzy, a Kozer, got it. All right. So Rachel and David, welcome in.
How are you? And you have Jim.
Fine, thanks to both of you. And Rachel, where you're calling from, I believe, New Jersey?
I'm in New Jersey. I'm in Colts Neck, yeah.
Great. And David, where are you calling in from?
New York, New York.
Ah, great. And also now joining us are the two co-hosts of Inside the Black Box. First, She's from my neck of the woods in Brooklyn. She is the celebrated acting coach and producer, Tracy Moore. Tracy, happy to have you here.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And finally, joining us as well, he's an Emmy Award-winning, NAACP Image Award-winning actor. I have followed his career for years all over the place, including TV shows like Eureka on Sci-Fi, God, Friend, and Me on CBS, and now on the new series, Our Kind of People. He is the award-winning member. He did his great performance in Scandal as well on ABC. A wonderful actor, Mr. Joe Morton. Joe, great to have you here.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And Joe, we'll start with you. What had you decide to get involved with this series?
Well, Tracy Moore just had this wonderful idea of how to bring a community of black and brown actors together under the auspices of having stars come in and tell their stories and interact with up-and-coming actors in terms of improvs and theater games. We did a sizzle reel about 6 years ago. The electricity in that room was just overwhelming and wonderful, and she and I and David all got together and talked about how we could make this into a television show, and here we are. I mean, it is this wonderful sort of combination of up-and-coming actors who are looking for inspiration and being given it by actors and casting agents and directors who have been in this industry for a long time and have something to offer.
Tracy, pick that up. What kind of dynamic were you and Joe looking for when you pulled this series together with Rachel and David?
Well, I think that Joe and I already kind of had a synergy together. I had worked with him when his screenplay was a finalist in Urban World Film Festival, and I have a relationship with his daughter, so I felt very comfortable with Joe. But the thing that really brings our relationship together, I believe, is our passion and our love for the craft. And it's important to educate and also motivate and inspire these young actors, because it's a different journey for black people and people of color in this entertainment business. And so they need to be armed with that information and that knowledge and know how to not allow it to deter their journey or discourage them in this process.
Rachel, for you and David, what is the trick to making this very unique format, which can be very dynamic,
okay,
and also very illuminating, as I mentioned at the top of the program, and also could get heated because it's very improvisational. You never know what can come out at any time. How did you and David make that work?
So this is what happened. You know, Tracy and I have known each other for quite some time. I mean, like 20 years ago, I cast Tracy, this celebrity acting coach and casting director on a show I was doing at Oxygen, Gail King. Tracy and I were then put back together 7 years ago, and Tracy had this idea for the spirited actor. And my job was to listen. And when Joe did the sizzle and when Joe came on board, and then when it got to David Ozer, my job was to shut up, basically, and let people tell their story, tell their truth. And, you know, I just kept listening. There's a history that's been buried, and this show tells it. And I think it's definitely going to make some noise. People came in brave with truth, and nobody needed to be validated in the room because everybody in the room had a shared experience being black in entertainment, something that, you know, that's not my story. So my job was to shut up, and that's what I did.
Yeah.
Go ahead, David. What would you like to add?
No, I was going to say, and it's such an important show, right, that needed to get made and needed to tell people about what's going on out there and give a platform. So, you know, for us, it was a no-brainer to move forward with this. And then, you know, when you watch Joe and Tracy and when these guests come in, they create such a safe environment that, you know, nobody feels like nobody's on there pitching a TV show or a movie opening or anything like that. They're just talking like they're having coffee in the morning with a friend. And that's what I think makes this show so special and so unique, that, you know, the way people open up and the honesty and creating this safe haven of an environment for the guests to come on. And, you know, I'm really excited to see where this is going to go in future seasons as well, because the amount of people reaching out wanting to be a part of it is incredible.
Steve, I'll start with you on this. What kind of exercises did you do in the course of the series? Did you do different ones? Did you, like, one in each episode? And how do you sort of determine, like, if you're going to do an exercise each episode, which one do you do? And how do you match it not only to the audience, but I understand there's a group of young actors, so it reminds me, like, Inside the Actors Studio for many years on Bravo and that later Ovation. But also you have this incredible lineup of talent that's being interviewed and that's participating as well. You have people like Tanya Perkins, wonderful actress. You have people like the vice president of casting at Disney Television Studios. You've got one of the directors of Dear White People and the new HBO hit The Golden Age that's gotten renewed for a second season, as well as Darrell Martin, who did one of my favorite films of recent years, I Like It Like That, which has one of my favorite songs to dance dance cha-cha to.
Who is that question to?
I guess it's you, Tracy, about the exercises.
How do you determine, like, what exercises you do that involve different people?
The great part about it is that we all collaborated. We, Rachel, Joe, and I, we were in a room, and Joe bought his theater games and his experience, and I bought mine, and Rachel chimed in, and we edited. And then we bought actors in to perform them and to see which ones would work for TV and which ones were really good for educational value. All of them really are. But specifically the ones that would be engaging for an audience to watch and learn from. And so it was a process. And then we established certain exercises that are permanent, like Inside the Black Box, which is a box that Joe presents to the actors. And we have actors that are in the audience we choose from, and they open the box, and they have to create an improv from what's in the box that could range from a flax to a wad of money. So there was development in it, and there are exercises that I brought to the table from my classes as well that I do all the time. So, you know, we really wanted to focus on the structure with engaging with the actors, because that's a big part of the show. And then the interview, and yeah, we wanted to, Joe always says it's a safe haven, and that we wanted to create that space so that people are not going to share and be vulnerable if they're uncomfortable. And so they trust Joe and they trust myself, and they share.
We're talking about Inside the Black Box. It's the brand new series that premiered yesterday on Crackle. Crackle is the mega content service from Chicken Soup and the Soul Entertainment. It's available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. We've got executive producers Rachel Weintraub and David Ozer, and we've got the co-hosts Tracy Moore and Joe Morton. They join us from various locations in New York and New Jersey, respectively, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And we're happy you're along for the ride, too. Simon Applebaum with you from New Haven, New York. We're at 42 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our guests, don't be shy. Make a call and ring in 646-652-2906. We'll use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up our next half hour, we will have an expanded Takeaway of the Week segment dealing with a change of name that's more than a name change, the situation with NBC Universal's debacle of Olympics coverage, and also Oscar hosts. Really? Well, I'll explain all that. That's coming up. And for all you John Williams TV music fans, have we got some wonderful news for you that broke a few hours ago. That's all coming up in our final half hour of today's episode. Joe, for you, what was the most interesting exercise that you did with a particular guest?
I mean, there were so many different exercises, and they were all interesting in one way or another. I mean, the one that comes to mind, and only I think I'm thinking of it because we saw it last night, is a wad of money comes out of the black box. And we chose two actors. One ended up playing the mother, and the other ended up playing her son. And the improv sort of rolled into the fact that the son had apparently been selling drugs out in the street, and the mother was very wary as to where this wad of money might have come from. And the conversation that ensued and the the moments that ensued once they started the improv were thrilling, and they were devastating, and they were real in terms of what we read in the newspapers, if you will, or see on our television news. And I think many of the improvs are like that. Raven Simone does an improv with one of the actresses where they play sisters, and the improv was about the fact that their mom was about to get married. Neither sister liked the man that the mom was going to get married, and they had to decide between the two of them who was going to tell her that this guy really wasn't for her. And it was just, it was wonderful. It was amazing. So it's basically one right after the other. I'm sure Tracy can sort of dole off a number of the improv that were just striking.
Yeah. I mean, what comes to mind for me is Eric McKay when he did the singing with Norm Lewis, and we have an exercise where it's a lounge singer, and so they have one line that they have to build a song around and do it in impersonating their favorite artist. And so Eric impersonated Prince, and the line was, "I'm so broke." Oh, wow, I'm so broke. I can't pay attention. It was hilarious. And so he was Prince skirting around, "I'm so broke, I can't pay attention." And then he would do, like, PayPal, Zelby, Cash App me. It was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, did you and David expect the level of talent to participate on this series? I mean, you look at Felicia Rashad and Raven Simone and Darnell Martin and Sally Richardson Whitfield and a vice president at Disney and Leah Daniels, who worked on Coming to America and also worked on is working on Joe's series, Our Kind of People at Fox. Did you, both of you, expect that level of talent off the bat to participate in this kind of a series?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, this is the one thing that I've learned through my career. You know, I've always worked with truth tellers. I did The View forever. I did this forever, that forever. And people are loyal, and they have a story to tell, and they're comfortable. Of course they're going to show up. And Tracy and Joe and the relationships that they have in the industry, of course people are going to show up. I mean, Kerry Washington has already, like, you know, got to social media, Tony Goldwyn. Everyone is Tracy's students. Has been such an evangelist. So the level of talent, I think we're just at the beginning. What surprised me, or not surprised me, but what met and exceeded my expectations, that all those people that you listed, all these A-listers came and they told their story, they told their truth. And
yeah.
I'm hoping to God it shakes it up. Like, that's what's important to me, that people are listening and people are processing these stories of truth, because truth-telling, listen, it's brave. And I'm just hoping that it makes a lot of noise, and not just so people watch the show, but a real change is affected. So, no, I'm not surprised at who showed up. Like, Felicia Rashad is the dean of the Chadwick Boseman School of Acting at Howard. I mean, who better to kick us off on our first episode?
David, what
and
was
I
the reaction? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I mean, I was certainly, you expect good talent to show up. You know, Joe and Tracy's relationship so deep. And through the whole team we put together, from the production team, from our casting group, and Joe, Tracy, and Rachel, and everybody else involved, you know, it was kind of like pick of the litter here. And this is also during pandemic in New York, right? So, you know, as we move on, I think you're going to see us also broaden the type of guests we get in, right? Athletes, musicians, and things like that. So that heads, and I think, you know, to Rachel's point, if we can make a difference out there, Simon, you know, mission accomplished on this show. And that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm. And same with both of you, Rachel and David. What was the reaction of the live audiences? What kind of feedback did they provide you? Was there a message that they got that really left both of you saying, yes, it was very important,
listen, Joe and Tracy,
that message got delivered and they got it?
Simon,
absolutely.
Here's the thing. Joe, take this one, please.
Yeah, they responded so strongly that they created the theme song for the show. They got together, and they're the ones who actually put together the chant Inside the Black Box, which just thrilled, obviously, all of us. We were just overwhelmed with how inspired they were, that they felt, you know, here was a song that sort of made them, that reflected what they had gotten out of the show. And then in response to that song, I took them into the studio, and is now the theme song for the show. So that was the level of response from these students.
And they also canceled, rescheduled their jobs. They also traveled from Oklahoma, Atlanta, Los Angeles, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Connecticut. And we initially have 10 episodes, 10 different audiences. We ended up overlapping because they never wanted to go home. So most of them were there for 10 episodes.
Yeah, it's unlike anything I've seen, Simon, and it's the love that was in the room, the excitement, the way they interacted with Joe and Tracy, soaking it all up. I mean, think about it. Someone at random was literally reading a line in front of Felicia Rashad cold, right? And made her cry. So it's a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity for folks. And it was to see how they responded. And Joe, what's your line about at the end of the night? You know, you got to go home. What's that line? You know, they didn't want to leave.
You don't have to leave here.
Right. Right. Yeah, the line was, you know, it's late at night, but, you know, you don't have to – you have to go home, but you can't stay here. You can go wherever you want, but you can't stay here.
Mm-hmm. For all of you, what do you hope that viewers get from this series, especially at a time where in the world of television, we are seeing more people of color launch production companies, we are seeing more people of color get first-time opportunities to write and create, produce, and direct series, we're seeing more people of color launch television networks through smart TV sets and smart TV devices, develop interactive television, get into all sorts of things. And we're even seeing, you know, so many of these first look deals now with the likes of Warner Brothers and Netflix and what was Viacom, CBS, now Paramount, yep, and Hulu and Amazon, so forth. It just seems that the breakthroughs are coming faster, faster, faster in terms of opportunities for people of color in television.
Well, I guess one of the things I would say is why not? Why not? You know, and why hasn't it happened? Because Black people and people of color are just as talented. One of the things that Viola Davis always talks about is that she never had, you know, all we need are opportunities. And that's what this show is about. It's about exposing the truth of and being authentic with our stories about how opportunities weren't presented to us or how opportunities were taken away or how the bar keeps changing as to whether or not, you know, we qualify for, you know, this amount of budget or, you know, people in positions in these studios that have green light power and very few, if not any, Black person or person of color in that position. So I think what this show is about, it's about, you know, I love the fact that Felicia Rashad was talking about how these experiences that, you know, universal experiences that we have, right? Childbirth and being hungry. And so our stories may be different, but we understand the feeling that it presents itself. And so I think all of these stories have not been heard. And I think that we're at a place where people are listening more or woke or conscious, however you want to say it. And because of that, we're moving into a shift and change. And I think it's important that people listen to these stories and not be so quick to understand, because if you don't have the experience, there's no way you can understand. And so that's what's going to create more production companies and more, you know, Netflix deals. And that's what I want. And, you know, that's why I feel like with this team, you know, it's brave. It's groundbreaking. It hasn't been done before. And so, you know, to want a change and make a change, you have to be brave.
Anybody else have anything they want to say? Or I'll throw in something. If you get a second season, who would you like to jump in and be part of?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? We've gotten so many calls already for people who want to be on the second season because we all know how this goes. First season, everybody's team is like, oh, that's great, but let's see how it plays out. But the calls we've gotten for second season have been amazing. And what do we want? Who do we want? Who knows? I mean, we want to be able to react and respond to what's going on in the world quicker. We want to be able to travel the show to different film festivals, to different events. But, I mean, I know Tracy and Joe, you both have gotten close with people who, like, can't wait to come on. So
yeah, I mean, we've gotten responses from Tahanishi Coates, from Wynton Marsalis, from Shonda Rhimes, from just, I mean, you know, the answer to the question is we want everybody. Anybody,
yeah.
Everyone who has a story to tell, that's really what we want.
And I'll tell you, Sonny, it's
really
also
great.
Looking at Korea and other countries, too. So the show has legs where we can go into the UK and create a UK version, Germany, France, Italy, Spain, you know, because these are issues all over. So that's also where this show heads.
By the way, one other thing. It's very interesting that Crackle has decided this is going to be like our first foray into doing a program like this for an occasion like Black History Month. How do you feel about the fact that Crackle took the leap with all of you in putting this on?
Simon, you keep talking about Black History Month, but that's not what it's about. I have to be. Crackle didn't come because it's Black History Month. This show has been in development and in the making for 7 years. 7 years of history and of events and real life and things happening. So it goes so far beyond Black History Month. It's, you know, it was a lovely tie-in to launch with, but that's not what it's about at all.
No, but it's, you know, they're...
By the way, thank you for making that point. Thank you for making that point. I really appreciate you said on this program.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And,
no worries.
And
go ahead, David.
Crackle's been great partners in marketing and supporting it. And they, you know, again, they recognize that it's a unique show. And they're right now, there's nothing else out there like this. So, you know, good for them. And they're taking the lead. And, you know, you're seeing a lot of promotional push on it. So they recognize the importance.
And again, the program is Inside the Black Box. It premiered yesterday on Crackle, and I have a hunch it's going to be a very long-running series and one that's very, very important, especially now that diversity is expanding on television in all sorts of ways. Crackle is available on most smart TV sets and smart devices, and also on Crackle this month, some wonderful attractions, including one of my favorite TV movies of all time. I talked about this when I talked about Cicely Tyson last December, where Tamar Bichelli remembers, and that's the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman. If you've never seen this movie, it's one of the greatest ever, and Cicely Tyson's performance is one for the ages, along with everybody who did that film with her. If you've never seen it, make it a business to see it on Crackle this month. And for more details about the program and whatever, and the all attractions, I should say, that Crackle has online, go to crackle.com. That's crackle.com. Crackle, again, available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Rachel Weintraub, David Ozer, Tracy Moore, Joe Morton, thank you all for making this a wonderful half hour. Congratulations on bringing this show to life. I hope it gets a very, very long run. And Joe, congratulations on the wonderful, wonderful roles you've been doing, and I hope that our kind of people got the second season on Fox. And one more thing. I was a big fan of what
thank
you did
you
on Dodd
so
Frank.
Much.
I love that
thank
series.
You.
It was one of the best broadcast series, one of the best shows that CBS did in recent years. It was done in New York. Your performance was marvelous, and it's finally great to have you on this program.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us, Simon.
You're very, very welcome.
Thank
everybody.
You.
Have a fantastic weekend.
Thanks,
take care.
Simon.
All the greatest.
All right. Bye-bye.
Rachel Weintraub, David Ozer, Tracy Moore, Joe Moore, all joining us live from various locations in New Jersey and New York. Again, Inside the Black Box, now running on Crackle. And when we come back, an expanded takeaway of the week segment dealing with More than a name change, with Viacom CBS becoming Paramount, NBC Universal's debacle of Olympics coverage and what can be done about it going forward, and those Oscar hosts? I'll explain it all, and for all you John Williams TV music fans, he's coming back. I'll tell you how. That's all coming up after we pause at the top of the hour. That's top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com, reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Remember, coming your way tomorrow night, it's Screwball Radio. You want some very unique entertainment you can find nowhere else? You'll find it on BTR tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Screwball Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR coming your way throughout President's Day weekend at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Friday before President's Day 2022. Simon Abbott with you live from New York. 41 degrees top of the hour. Happy to have you aboard again. Thank you to the great quartet of folks from Inside the Black Box on Crackle. If you haven't seen the show yet, please do. It's really marvelous, and I hope it runs a very, very long time. And congratulations to the incredible little talent that's participating in this series in its first season. We have some more to do today, including a major takeaway of the week segment. And if you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear you. And we welcome those who just joined us at the top of the hour. So if you have a question or comment about what we're going to talk about shortly, make that call. We want to hear you. This show works when you do. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe. You're on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. And if you have a comment you want to not phone in but get involved, use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk, Speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Last year, we introduced a feature called the Takeaway of the Week. It showcases a development that takes place during the week that we think you should keep in mind coming out of the week, because this could be a development that could impact the way you watch and use television down the road. Well, this week, there were a lot of developments that we felt shouldn't be squeezed into one small segment of a few minutes. So that's why we're going to take most of our final half hour to do an expanded Takeaway of the Week segment. And we're going to kick things off with a name change, and really more than a name change, that happened this week when Viacom CBS became Paramount. The takeaway is this was not just a name change that took place 2 years after Viacom and CBS, separate companies, merged, and 1 year after the launch of Paramount Plus, one of the latest mega content services. Paramount, becoming Paramount, if you will, made a statement, and the statement is, we are making our future on mega content services. They will be the centerpiece of our company. Paramount has an image that goes beyond a mountain and the stars above it in a semicircle. It stands for quality. It stands for high quality. It stands for a high bar. And in an investor event that took place earlier this week, Viacom CBS made clear that as Paramount, the focus of this service, the focus of this organization is going to be on making the best mega content services possible, whether it is Paramount Plus, whether it's BET Plus, whether it is various local and national services from CBS News or CBS Sports HQ, or whether it is Showtime in some manner beyond its pay subscribership. And you have to say that Paramount Plus, by the way, is coming off a very good last 3 months of the year. For one thing, it's now starting to churn out original shows, and not just taking shows a little from Nickelodeon, a little from BET, a little from Comedy Central that was supposed to be on those services, those cable services. That's how, by the way, Paramount Plus got started. But now it's creating its own stuff. Taylor Sheridan has become one of the new mega content producers, not just with Yellowstone and Paramount Network, but now with at least two shows on Paramount Plus, Mayor of Kingstown, 1883, and now he's got a whole batch of shows to follow in the coming year or two. And you also have the Star Trek universe, which now is Star Trek Discovery, just started its fourth season, Star Trek Picard about to start season two, the new Strange New Worlds coming up in May, Star Trek Lower Decks, the animated show Subject Series, and then from Nickelodeon, Star Trek Prodigy, which has become a major hit. Paramount Plus is going to fly. And no, doesn't look like this organization is going to merge with anyone else anytime soon. They're sticking with going on its own. More importantly, they're making a bigger dollar commitment. And when you get 9 million subscribers to Paramount Plus the last 3 months of 2021, that's going to help steal your thoughts along, shall we? So it looked like 2024, they would spend $4 billion a year. That's $4 billion a year on original content. Make that $6 billion. With $4 billion next year, $5 billion 2020, and $6 billion 2024. Paramount, under the new name, is really stretching its guard into mega content services. That, to them, is the current and the future. And that's the takeaway for you on this. And you're going to be the benefit of a lot of new original shows, including all those shows based on Paramount movies that they were going to maybe have on around this time. But the coronavirus pandemic had a few monkey wrenches for that. You know, shows based on Love Story, Fatal Attraction, The Parallax View, etc. So look for not just franchises based on those famous Paramount classic movies, but also original stuff too. Paramount wants to be a player, a big player. Now they got to deliver. Let's see if they do. That's takeaway of the week, number one. Number two, the ongoing debacle of viewership to NBC Universal's Olympics coverage, currently wrapping up in Beijing, China, this weekend. The ratings have gone down. If you haven't heard, the viewership for Wednesday, 6.1 million people on NBC alone. The worst viewing in Olympics history in broadcast primetime on NBC. In fact, since last weekend, NBC Universal has not issued a single press release about the viewership to the Summer Olympic Games. They haven't tried to fudge the numbers to include USA, CNBC, smartphones, tablets, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing. It's as if NBC Universal has said, we're moving on. That's it. I've said a lot about NBC Universal's coverage the last week and a half. And, of course, earlier this week we had our wonderful conversation with Mark Berman of the From the Insider. Hope you had a chance to hear it. If you haven't, go to blogtalkradio.com/televised and check it out. But a couple of things have popped up that I think deserve more attention and deserve separate attention. The first is, it is still amazing to me that day-and-date promotion has been AWOL, absentia, absent, out of the picture. It goes down to marketing 101. If you want people to watch a television program or read a book or watch a movie, you have to tell people, anything in entertainment, you have to tell people that it's on and where they can find it. And that hasn't happened. Not with NBC, not with USA Network, not with CNBC, and even with Peacock. Despite the fact that the coverage in large majority part, executive produced by Molly Solomon, has been fantastic. And again, you've got to give this woman incredible credit. The fact that she has been able to pull together two, not one, two Olympics in within 7 months of each other, one in Tokyo last summer, marred by the coronavirus pandemic with no fans in the stands, and then right now in Beijing, China, marred by it being in China with the coronavirus pandemic, with Chinese clamped down by the Chinese government, is incredible. It's an incredible accomplishment. It will never be duplicated. And Molly deserves the tremendous credit for it, along with the rest of her production team. And that's why it is astonishing that there is no promotional backup. I see more promotion on CNBC for that night, the news with Shepard Smith at 7 o'clock Eastern time, than I do for what's on CNBC with the Olympics coverage. That's crazy. That's one. Number two, a topic that I didn't think about when we had the discussion with Mark Berman on Monday, and it hit me last night. where is the U.S. Olympic Committee? Where are they? They've also been AWOL. This is the organization that's supposed to promote the United States athletes, the U.S. Olympic team. Where are they in the picture? You haven't heard a peep from them. I haven't. I don't think the press has it. From what press reports I've been able to see, no, but nothing from them. Where are they? Where have they been? Another astonishing. And third, I want to say something about the situation with Karina Valeva and how it was treated in the live coverage of the women's figure skating final on Wednesday night. First of all, I think a lot of the reporting about this situation from all sides has been, I'll sum it up in one word, shoddy. I still don't know what this drug is that this 15-year-old phenomenon took. I don't know when it was when she got the drug. I don't know how she got the drug. And more importantly, and nobody's addressed this, if she didn't pass this drug test before the Olympic Games, why was this information released during the Olympic Games and just a few days before her big event? Why? Who's responsible for this? I'm still waiting to get answers about this, but here's my real beef now. So number one, the reporting on this from all sides has been absolutely full of holes, and it's time somebody stepped up and provided the answers on those questions. But more importantly, I have something to say about Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski and the way they handled the event on Wednesday night. First of all, I have a great deal of respect for both of them. I love their coverage. They're marvelous as a pair, and separately, they're really great. And what they did before the American public on NBC Wednesday night was unprofessional at its highest. I get they didn't like the situation. I get they didn't want to see this performance. That's not the issue here. The issue is you are supposed to provide commentary. You're supposed to do a job, provide commentary about the performance. And to be silent about it, no matter how it would have gone, that's indefensible. It's unprofessional. And I hope Molly, or whoever the biggest game producer was in NBC Sports, took both of them to the woodshed in Stamford, Connecticut, and read the Riot Act. If you want to make a comment about having the performance at all, do it before and after the performance. I get that. But to say nothing about the performance, not critique it at all, and then spill the beans afterward, that's really conduct unbecoming. You know better than that. You are better than that. This was commentary at its worst, or lack of commentary at its worst. And I really hope you do better, because, frankly, you've set a wonderful bar, and you blew it. You blew the bar on Wednesday night. And I have a hunch that's why also the ratings went down, was the commentary. Again, I'm open-minded about this. I want to hear more about this controversy before I make a final judgment about Camila Vleka. I hope she does the Olympics again. I hope that she gets through this. Remember, this is a 15-year-old person. I've said this before. I think she's an amazing figure skater. She may be the best figure skater, female figure skater, Michelle Kwan. She had a terrible night Wednesday. God knows what she's going through. I hope she learns whatever she can learn. I think the Russian Federation, the Sports Federation, owes us a lot of answers about what's going on, and so does the International Olympic Committee. Oh, by the way, if she had won Wednesday night, the IOC was going to go through not having a medal ceremony. How would the second place and third place, the silver and bronze competitors, have felt? By penalizing them? Stupid move by the International Olympic Committee, if it had happened. The takeaway of the week I have about this whole situation is that NBC Universal, going forward, has to do a total transformation about how it does Olympic coverage and where. And that inquiry has to start immediately after these games. And it's got to cover all sides. And it can't just be NBC. It's got to be the International Olympic Committee. It's got to be the U.S. Olympic Committee. And it has to be sports media. And it has to be the TV industry as well. Again, I want to give you my, for those who missed my comment a week ago Monday and the show that we did on with Mark Berman on this past Monday, here's again the recommendations. Number one, the International Olympic Committee has got to go back to doing the Olympics the way it's been done for decades. Winter and summer games, same calendar year, every 4 years. If I was the IOC, I would immediately tell the folks of the 2026 Winter Olympics, make it 2028. We've got to get the magic back in these games. We have to get the interest level back because, frankly, it is on the borderline of being an afterthought with the majority of the American public, especially with these games the way they were, the way they unfolded. Number two, the U.S. Olympic Committee has got to get off its high horse and get involved in promoting these athletes, whether it's Olympic trials, whether it's events before, between the games, and at the games themselves. Stop taking the back seat. Also, one other thing with the U.S. Olympic Committee, stop having events before the opening ceremonies. That is like doing the first quarter of the Super Bowl, and then you do the coin toss and everything else before the game is supposed to start. It doesn't work. Ratings are awful. People don't want to watch. They want the opening ceremonies to open the games. No ifs, ands, or buts. Now, with NBC, here's my recommendation. Number one, Peacock becomes the centerpiece because it can handle the coverage, live and taped. It's got to become the centerpiece. And every Peacock subscriber, not just a particular tier, whether you take the service ad-free or you take the service with all the ads, which, by the way, is a lower ad load than broadcast and cable television networks, everybody gets the Olympics. Everybody gets the benefits. Number two, do more things like the mid-morning show, the multi-hour morning show, I should say, and Olympic Ice. Devote specific shows to specific sports. And do that Kevin Hart Snoop Dogg thing. That was really missing. It was great for the Summer Olympic Games. It was missing for the Winter Olympics. Do some unique things. Have some fun with these games. Get the audience interested. Get the audience involved. Another thing, put the Olympic Channel, which has been in sort of Siberia of digital cable, put it on Peacock 24/7. Do what you did with the WWE Network. Look what you did with that service. Look what you did with events like WrestleMania and Royal Rumble and so forth. You gave them a second chance, a new life. You can do the same thing with the Olympic Channel. And you can do the same thing with the coverage of the Olympic trials. Put on Peacock first, then if you want highlights on NBC. The promotional effort must be stronger. This should be the last time that no day and date promotion shows up on any NBC Universal service. And that includes, by the way, the public relations effort. No more we don't do an event at 30 Rock and we use the coronavirus pandemic as an excuse not to hold it. No more do we shut the press out. No more do we only do like one conference call and we do it midway through the games. You got to do it more often, before, during, and yes, after. And you got to be transparent. Where you're going right, where you're going wrong. And finally, make the games interactive. You have the technology now with artificial intelligence, with augmented reality, with 5G. Make the games interactive. Encourage people to be their own director, direct their own coverage, direct their own camera angles, or have video chats with the athletes and their families and officials in the sport. Do tutorials that people can participate in. They want to see like how a particular sport like biathlon or speed skating works, how you judge it, takeaways about the course, about tips about how to be a better speed skater or figure skater and so forth. And also do competitions between the Olympics, the big ones. Put them on Peacock. Peacock, I think, can be the saving, as a mega content service, could be the saving grace of these games, as far as television is concerned. Takeaway, NBC, you have a lot of work to do. And you've got to have cooperation from the International Olympic Committee and the U.S. Olympic Committee. It cannot be done just in your vacuum. These games are worth saving. The American public, I think, and the world public will embrace you if you make the effort. So let's start going forward, like the day after. Let's make it happen, really. The Olympics is still one of the few places where people all over the world can get together and be with each other and showcase to the world how great they are, how talented they are, what they've trained for, what they've worked hard for. I think about Rayford Johnson's thought that, you know, if I win, great. If I don't win, Let me be brave in the attempt. Let's see that. There's a lot of greatness that people want to give to the Olympics. Let's give it a fighting shot, shall we? And finally, the news of the hosts for this year's Academy Awards on ABC next month. Wanda Sykes, Regina Hall, and Amy Schumer. When I heard about this news, I had one word to react. Huh? And then the next question was, really? And the third was, are you kidding me? You mean to tell me, you mean to tell the American public that coming off the worst Oscar presentation in the history of the ceremony, one in which nearly less than 10 million people saw it live, and this ceremony is on the precipice of being an afterthought with the American public, that these three are going to be the hosts? Now, let me be very clear here. I have not. This is not about Wanda Sykes. It's not about Amy Schumer. It's not about Regina Hall, three talented people who do more television and better known for their TV work than their film work. Here's what I'm pointing to. When you have Denzel Washington and Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks and Kate Blanchett and Benedict Cumberbatch and Daniel Craig and Jennifer Lopez and John Leguizamo and Steve Martin and Don Cheadle and George Clooney, when you have the cream of Hollywood talent that could Anthony Hopkins, Judi Dench, even newcomers like Ariana DeBose, people of all backgrounds, Jackie Chan, Chris Tucker, people who definitely could host an award show, who are major Hollywood stars, Reese Witherspoon, Renee Zellweger. You mean to tell me that not one of those people, when asked, would host the Academy Awards? The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, you mean to say that you can't get these people to host an award show at a time when you need them to host? It's unreal. It's absolutely unreal. I don't know about you, but I think right now with an athlete's host, I think the Oscars have put themselves on a path that they could become basically a nothing. This could be a make it or break it year for the Oscars. If the Oscars do not rebound from the precipice of last year, I could very easily see this going on Hulu next year. And I just wonder what in the world is the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences and ABC and executive producer Will Packer thinking. The Oscars need to get their reputation back as an award show where you honor the art and you honor and encourage the viewers out here, you, me, everybody, to see the art. This is not a great start. I really hope this is not where this is going, and I'll leave it at that. I'd love to hear from you what you thought about all three takeaways. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on LinkedIn, Twitter. I'd love to hear what you think. Two more things before we go. First, a quick up as an update where we catch up on guests and topics from this program. A week ago, we celebrated John Williams' 90th birthday, the great TV and film composer, and I mused a little bit that you wondered if there was going to be another TV theme in John Williams' repertoire. Well, I'm happy to tell you there is, and you will hear it in late May on Disney+, because John Williams, last week in L.A., in sort of a clandestine top secret manner, recorded a new theme for the Obi-Wan Kenobi miniseries, one of the latest Star Wars television programs in Disney+. I don't know if he's written other music, but we do know, according to reports that came out this morning, he did write the theme. And the Disney Plus, I believe, is going to be premiering the week of May 25th. So, yes, folks, John Williams has a new TV theme in the hopper, and I'll bet you it's going to be great. He's also working on two more Steven Spielberg films, his longtime collaborator involved, including a new Jurassic Park or Jurassic World film, and the autobiography type movie that I believe is going to be coming out at the end of the year. It's great to see John Williams back with the television theme. This, by the way, would be his first TV theme for a dramatic series, scripted series, since the mid-80s, another Steven Spielberg creation, Amazing Stories, which, by the way, was revived 2 years ago on Apple TV+. And I believe they did use the theme and the original opening title by Robert Abel Associates on NBC. And, again, for those of you that missed it, USA Today, Monday, Valentine's Day, had an ad by Media Village, the Media Leadership website, which I write for. And it was a wonderful ad that acknowledged all the wonderful writers and contributors on Media Village, including yours truly. And we have the picture and Tawabi Tawai's logo. And I want to thank, again, USA Today for it. You know that since that time, we have averaged, the last 3 days, more than 100 replays. And we have had, in the last 4 days, going into today, nearly 500 replays for the week. So thank you, everybody who tuned in. Thank you to USA Today. Thank you, Jack Myers, everybody at Media Village. You really made my mom and dad and everybody proud. And I love you all for it. Again, we're back with you on Tuesday, not Monday, Tuesday. And joining us on Tuesday will be from the brand new Telehealth on TV service, Maya MD, co-founders Christian Heberman and Dr. Virginis Changdev. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up with episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast all weekend long. They'll be available on iHeartRadio's Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Verbal, and Reason. And remember, we'd love to hear from you. What do you think about our show today? What's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going, especially with the name change with Paramount and NBC's Olympic coverage, and yes, the Oscar host? Love to hear you. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. I do respond to your emails and your social media messages in 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio and other services of this program. Andy Toe is BTR's General Manager, Jay Sonnenberg, Head of Content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast outpost. For details, go to onpodium.com. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow's show is brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two, or to find out how you can get your first 3 months with Audible trial, Audible subscription, I should say, free, go to audibletrial.com/televise. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Thank you to all of our guests. We'll be back on Tuesday, not Monday, Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. Have a fantastic President's Day weekend with the people you love. Whatever you do between now and Tuesday, please make it safe and great. If you haven't been vaccinated, see your doctor, check out your medical history, find out about all the new antiviral pills and other alternatives to treatment, and then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.